I have a surprise announcement for you. I invited a guest preacher to come today to share an Advent message with us. The problem is he hasn't shown up yet. I hope he's okay. I have no idea. If he walks in the door, I pray that you will welcome him with open arms. And in fact, I'm looking for someone who might be willing to take him home afterwards and give him a nice lunch, since we can't take him out to a restaurant. I need to warn you that he does have some dietary restrictions that are a little challenging, but I'll talk to you privately about that, or maybe we'll talk about it later. I also need to warn you that he's strange. He marches to a different drummer, as they say, and we'll talk about that too. He doesn't dress appropriately for worship, whether it's here or across the street, if you know what I mean. His name is John, by the way. He's a Jewish boy. He's actually a native of Israel, and he can be a bit abrasive at times, and not just a little strange. I don't know what made him such a strange guy. I heard that it all started even before he was born. The report is that he was anointed by the Holy Spirit while in his mother's womb, and he started dancing pretty wildly while he was still in the womb. I'll bet she was glad to deliver him and be able to get some sleep. Now, when you meet John, please don't judge him by his clothing. Ever since Men's Warehouse and Joseph A. Banks went bankrupt, I think he's been shopping at the slaughterhouse because he wears camel hair, and it's really scratchy. I can't imagine why he enjoys doing that. It's awful. Oh, and about that special diet that I mentioned, you know, whoever's going to take him home. Let's just say I don't think you'll find his preferences at Costco or at Sam's Club. But whatever you serve him, just put a lot of honey on it, and he'll be okay with that. Is he here yet? He seems to be late, so I guess I'm glad that he gave me some of his notes that I can continue with his message until he gets here. The first thing that he said he wanted you to know is that there was a standard operating procedure in places where there are kings and kingdoms, as there was in the place where John was born. Whenever a king was going to visit the people, a courier was sent out first. And that courier had a job, and that was to get the people to fix the roads and make them look nice and clean up the trash and make sure that everything was nice and tidy and smooth before the king got there. And you see, they wanted also everybody to know that he was coming because they wanted a large crowd of people to show up, and they wanted all the people to cheer very loudly whenever he would show up, because, I mean, that was one of the ways that they acknowledged that he was a king after all. So it was really very important that the courier was seen and heard by as many people as possible, by everyone, everyone. Now, John was a courier, and he was letting everyone know that a very special king was coming, and it just so happened that that king was John's relative. I think he was his cousin. And John told me that he wishes that he had been a courier several decades earlier in Bethlehem when his cousin first appeared there. You see, John, he really sees his cousin as a really big king. And he explained that the courier system did occur even in Bethlehem, but it wasn't according to the palace rules, because not everyone got the message. The message, in fact, was given to a small elite group of people, and it was a very unlikely pairing of people, because there were some low-life shepherds who dressed in rags, and then there were some regal scholars from the East who dressed in fine linen. And John wishes that everyone had been prepared for his cousin's arrival, but he said, who was he to question how it was done? Now, with all that in mind, John also wanted you to know that he is still a courier today, right here. And he wants as many people as possible to know that his cousin is coming again. John says, get ready, be prepared. He said that around the Jordan Valley also. Lots of people took notice. He was shouting at them, get ready and be prepared. And they believed his message. But it was obvious that some of the other folks did not believe him. They missed it altogether. It may be because he was politically incorrect, as we say today. But regardless of how he dresses, and regardless of his strange diet, John has a passion for you. He wants you to be ready. He doesn't want you to miss it like some people did. And he adds that he's not really concerned about your going out and mending the roads or picking up the trash and making everything look better and smell better when the king gets here. No, what he said he wants is for you to mend whatever crooked roads you may travel on. And he said what he wants is for you to clean up the trash in your life so that you'll be ready to meet the king. He doesn't want you to decorate on the outside with lights and glitter and singing elves. He wants you to light up on the inside, where your heart is. Dick, has he shown up yet? Okay, I guess not. Well, I'll keep filling in until he gets here. Another thing that he wants you to know is that when he was baptizing around the Jordan River, he drew to him a big variety of people. In fact, Dr. Luke even wrote about it in chapter 3, and it said that the people there came from all around the Jordan Valley, all over the place, all people who considered themselves to be good religious people. I'll tell you what he said to them in just a minute, but also present there that day was the scum of the earth, the Jewish tax collectors who cooperated with the governing authorities. And in addition to that, there were soldiers, Roman soldiers. Imagine that. The people hated those Roman soldiers. But there they were, choosing to hear the message that John was sharing with them about getting ready for the coming king. Oh, yes, and about those good religious people who were there, you know, the ones who boasted that Abraham was their father, they thought that they were exempt from being judged because of their lineage. But John set them straight. He shook his finger in their faces and he said, "You brood of vipers." Now, I don't know about you, but I would not appreciate a preacher yelling in my face and telling me that I am a snake. But as I said, John can be rather rough around the edges sometimes. Maybe it's a good thing he didn't show up here today. He might have offended some of you. Oh, yes. John also told me something very interesting that Dr. Luke had to say about those crowds that were listening to him around the Jordan River. Dr. Luke says that those who thought they were above it all because they called Abraham their father, that a lot of people thought that Luke was referring only to the Jews who were there that day. The fact is that the Arabs also called Abraham their father. So there were Jews and Arabs around the Jordan River together. Imagine that. In fact, the same was true in Bethlehem. Joseph and Mary were Jews. The shepherds and the Magi from the east were probably Arabs. Imagine that. And some of the people today think that he came only for Republicans and not Democrats. How silly is that? This king came for everyone. Some people think he came only for white people. How silly is that? And some people are sure he came only for Southern Baptists. Well, that may be true. I hope RB's listening to this recording. But here is what John was saying. He was saying that nobody has racial privilege and superiority when it comes to this particular king's agenda. Back then, that included those nasty tax collectors, and it included those arrogant soldiers. John said, all of them, all of you, shape up, get ready, because the king is coming. And John wants you to know the same thing today. He wasn't talking just about Bethlehem. He was talking about the second advent as well. Well, I guess he's not coming. So I'll take it from here. Another part of the message that John wanted to convey to you today is, well, no matter what God calls you to do, you need to commit to doing it right. You need to be the best you can be. For instance, back there in the Jordan Valley, he told those Jews and the Arabs, if they had two tunics, they were to share with someone who had none. And he also said, if they had food, that they should share it with someone who was hungry. In other words, do it right. And as for those tax collectors, he told them to collect only the amount of money that was required. Do it right. And to those soldiers, he said, be content with whatever the government pays you. Do not accuse innocent people of crimes just so you can make more money. Do it right. Now, one of the things that I love about that is the fact that many of the people did do it right the first time the king showed up. For instance, Mary praised God for her delicate condition. She was a great mother. She did it right. Joseph trusted Mary. And Joseph protected Mary. He was a great husband. And later he was a great father. Joseph also did it right. And the shepherds. I love this one. The shepherds ran into Bethlehem to find Jesus. And then they told everybody who would listen about him. They did it right. And the wise men brought him very appropriate gifts. And then they protected his very life from the people that wanted to harm him. They did it right. So, if John had shown up here today and shared with you, I think he would have said to you, if you are a mother, if you are a father, be the best parent that you can be. I think he would have also said, if you are a friend, be a great friend. Do it right. There's an old Negro spiritual that captures John's message. I mean, even in the midst of the evil of slavery and misery, this is one of the songs they sang. There's a king and captain high, and he's coming by and by, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. You can hear his legions charging in the regions of the sky, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. When he comes? When he comes, he'll be crowned by saints and angels when he comes. Now, just like in that spiritual, John's song was, whatever you do, do it right. Do it to the glory of God until he comes again. The Apostle Paul said the same thing in Colossians 3. He said, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all. Do it all. All in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You know, as I think about it, John wasn't ever going to show up here today. Because, if I remember correctly, he died. He died at the hands of Herod Antipas. John died for his love and his commitment to live for his cousin, the king. John was like one of those who sang, you'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. And John wasn't the only one. There were many disciples, and there were countless numbers of people who died for their love and commitment to the King of Kings. And the King of Kings gave up his own life too. He gave up his life in heaven to come into the wilderness of this world where we live. And then he allowed the unworthy in this world to take his life away again. Again. He said these words, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, but that he lay down his life for his friends. John probably would have said to you, are you willing to do that? Are you willing to lay down your life for Jesus? That Negro spiritual has more words to it. They go like this. There's a man they thrust aside who was tortured till he died. And he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. He was scorned and crucified, and he'll find me hoeing cotton when he comes. When he comes, he'll be crowned by saints and angels. When he comes, they'll be shouting out Hosanna to the man that men denied. And I'll kneel among my cotton when he comes. I think John's message is perfect for Bethlehem, for the people around the Jordan Valley, and for the second coming. I think John's message also could be summarized with three R's directed to me, directed to you. Recognize, receive, and reform. Recognize my own sin. Receive his forgiveness and reform my life to live for his glory. That's the best way I know to really celebrate Christmas. Recognize, receive, and reform. Do it right, brothers and sisters. After all, God did it right. The King is coming. The King is coming. I just heard the trumpet sounding, and now his face I see. The King is coming. The King is coming. Praise God, he's coming for me. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus Christ, how should a king come? Father, I pray that we will be ready. I pray that we will be watchful. I pray that we will help the world be ready and watchful for that glorious, glorious moment. As we celebrate Advent, Lord, may we celebrate the fact that you are coming again. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.